there you go. There you have the series that we'll be doing through our Advent season, a series titled Christmas at the Movies. Okay, get out of your system. Go ahead and laugh. Give me those weird looks. I don't care. Go ahead. It's all right. I can take it. Everyone's wishing they had a camera right now. I know some of you are reaching for your phones real quick. Nowadays, with everyone's got their phones, they're taking pictures. Don't worry, the hat won't stay on all the time. The suit might. We begin a series, the staff and I will be going through a series of Christmas at the Movies, where we'll be looking at different Christmas movies and talking about them and find out how they apply to our lives and to our Christian walk. The first movie that we want to look at is a movie called The Santa Claus. And I have a couple clips that we'll be watching. We'll kind of watch one now. We'll be getting into Ephesians chapter 4 in just a little bit. So if you have your Bibles, you may want to turn there. We'll be looking at a couple of verses. But let's watch a video clip Aaron has for you to watch on The Santa Claus to lay a little groundwork.
Scott, time is up. Get over here and check your pulse.
All right. Okay. Well, nuts. Oh, no, your pulse is great. I don't know, Scott. You're as healthy as a horse.
Yeah. Clydesdale.
Okay, look, so what? You put on a little weight. A little weight? Does this look like a little weight to you?
Weight can fluctuate from year to year.
Fluctuate? You make it sound like I'm retaining water. I've gained 45 pounds in a week. Pete, what's happening to me?
What's your diet like?
Milk and cookies.
Really?
But I don't finish all the milk.
Well, then there is your problem. Just try to cut back on the sweets, okay?
Anything else? Yeah. How fast does hair grow? Facial hair.
What?
I shave in the morning, in the afternoon, I look like this.
Well, it could be a hormonal imbalance.
That would explain the mood swings.
Mood swings?
Yeah, but look at my hair, it's turning gray.
Oh, it's middle age, buddy, it happens. And with that body, you should be thankful you have hair. Look, if it bothers you, you can dye it, and you should dye it.
just kidding. Okay, up with the shirt. Let's take a listen to the old ticker.
Whoa. Okay.
Oh, it's cool.
As a child growing up, I remember one of the traditions we had, one of the things that we'd do is on Christmas Eve, we would get to go through the presents that were under the tree. And we got to select one present that we would open. Of course, Mom and Dad had to approve the present that we opened. But we'd open that one gift, and we got to play with it for just a little bit. You know, do things with it for a little bit. And then we had to go to bed early. Because that night, on Christmas Eve, Santa Claus was going to show up at our house. And lo and behold, it didn't matter whether we lived in a house or an apartment. If our house had a chimney, if it didn't have a chimney, it didn't matter where we lived. But somehow Santa Claus would always show up. And in the morning, we'd wake up early and there were a whole bunch more presents under the tree. And they were all brought by Santa Claus. It even said from Santa on it. Now, I don't know where, but somewhere along the line, probably when we got to Guam somewhere, my view kind of changed a little bit, my understanding. Realized that wasn't always the case. I'm trying to be sensitive here to some of you and things. Did you know that there is a person, a man who really, his name was Nicholas, and he lived around the 4th century. And he was the son of wealthy parents. And when his parents died, they left him an inheritance. And he believed wholeheartedly in the scripture that told him to sell everything. And he did. He sold everything that he had inherited, and he spent the rest of his life going around, often in disguise. And he would leave money for children. At times children would leave their shoes out. And he would put the coins in their shoes for them and stuff like that. All kinds of stories have been made up and told about Santa Claus. The poet Clement Moore gave him his red nose and those eight tiny reindeer. Thomas Nast, who was a cartoonist, he made him big and fat and gave him that red suit trimmed with fur. And of course, many of you may already know this, that it was the cowboy singer, Gene Autry, who gave him Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer. Some of you are still laughing at me. Does this look funny? It's okay. I'm keeping it for right now. But there was one question that I had, and that is kind of fun to deal with. And this movie deals with it the best of all the things that there is. What should happen if Santa Claus decides to retire? Or if he dies? You see, and that's the whole theme of this, and that we watched, and Tim Allen is kind of trying to explain to his doctor some of the changes that has taken place in his life. See, what happened was Santa got hurt. And there was a little card that said, put on the suit and the reindeer will know what to do. And so Tim Allen does that. But see, the mistake he made was he didn't read the fine print. And in the fine print, it binds him to become Santa Claus. And the rest of the movie deals with all those changes that take place. Changes in his body fat and his facial hair. You know, he shaves, and he said that he shaves in the morning, and by afternoon, his beard is full and all grown again. He tries to dye his hair black, and wouldn't you know it, it just goes right back to gray. No matter how much he exercised, he couldn't get rid of that belly that he carried around in front of him. Have you read the Santa Claus? See, changes in his attitude also began to take place. He finds himself going, ho, 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 and changes in where he lives and how he acts. See, once he put on that suit, his life was never, ever going to be the same. You know, in the Bible, talks about us putting on something too. The Bible says that we put on Jesus. And once we put on Jesus, our lives should never, ever be the same again either. See, we now become children of God. We have a new home, and these new relationships begin to develop. See, the Bible also tells us that Jesus puts white robes on us. Robes without spot or blemish. And once we put on those clothes, our lives are never, ever the same again. When Tim Allen put on the Santa suit, it changed how he looked. It changed how he thought. It even changed how he acted. It changed everything about him. So much so that even other people noticed the changes. I have another clip Aaron's going to show for you. Watch this. See how the changes are noticed.
Some ballet slippers.
See, the little girl noticed the changes in him. Noticed that there was something about him. She goes up to him and says she wants the ballet slippers. And then a whole line of kids formed to go have a chat with Santa Claus. They could see the change in him, and they could tell there was something about him. And that is what should happen to us when we put on Jesus. See, that one single act should change the way we look, the way we think, the way we act. And people should be able to notice that. If you have your Bibles and you've opened them, Ephesians chapter 4, I know in the text on the things you have, it says, starting from verse 17 and going all the way through 5:2, but we're only going to look at a few verses there, and I would encourage you to go back and read through the whole thing, because it will expand upon what we're talking about today. But verses 22 through 24 of Ephesians 4 read like this. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And Paul goes on to tell us that putting on Christ means that our behavior changes. See, we should prefer telling the truth to telling lies. We should prefer wholesome and clean forms of entertainment through books and movies and television that we watch. We should not allow anger to so overcome us that it destroys our relationships. We should work with our hands at giving to the poor rather than just looking for handouts. We need to be kind and compassionate toward others, forgiving others just as God in Christ forgave us. In short, when people are around us, they should be able to see what we have put on. They should be able to see Jesus in us. And when we don't behave like that, we don't behave like we have Jesus in us, people sense that. They sense that something isn't right. Back in 1999, the Indianapolis Star carried a story about a department store Santa Claus that didn't behave like Santa Claus should behave. Apparently, a mother came in and she placed her 1.5-year-old child on Santa's lap. And the child began to cry. And the mom said to Santa, maybe if you put your arm around him to comfort him, he'll settle down. Santa got a little bit angry. And when the mom went and started to pick the baby up, the man in that red suit said, was it worth it? Was it worth it for you to torture your child for a picture? You must be an evil person. When the mom told the man in the suit that she planned on filing a complaint, he jumped from his seat, from his throne there, and he said, you can complain about me all you want, but I am Santa Claus. I am the best person in the world. I am good. She told him that he probably should not be around children. At that, he got really angry. And he started to rip off his clothes. He took off the beard and he took off the coat and the wig that he was wearing. He took off the belt. Some stunned parents who were there covered their children's eyes so they could see that he wasn't really Santa Claus. At that point, security guards came and promptly led Santa Claus away. Now, did that man in that department store, in that suit, reflect the spirit of the suit that he had put on? And the answer is no. Of course not. See, what Paul is telling us here in Ephesians that we've read and expand on it if you read the whole text, is that that can happen to us as well. See, we've got to be careful how we behave because the world is watching us to see the difference that Jesus makes in our lives. And I know I've shared this a little bit, and some of you may remember it, but we have a soccer team, and we play indoor soccer, and we were playing in Clackamas. And the ref was making some really bad calls, and I told the ref, you've got to be consistent. I wasn't even playing on the field. I was standing in the box. Ref, you've got to be consistent. Make the calls consistently. And he says, one more word, I'm going to give you a blue card. A blue card is a 2-minute penalty. I said, you've got to be consistent. He flipped the blue card out, and I go, you've got to be consistent. He pulls out a yellow card, which is a 4-minute penalty. I said, you just need to be consistent. And he pulls out a red card. Some of you know a little bit about soccer. That meant I was kicked out of the game. I wasn't even playing. I was in the bench and I got kicked out of the game. Now, I wasn't mad. But was I right? And I had to think about that. And I apologized to the team. And the next week, I actually went up to the ref and I apologized to him. Now, our team name, the team that we go by, and we've done this with our softball team and with our soccer team, is Soccer Rocks. And some of you already know what Rocks stands for. It's the church. It's the one we developed for the youth group years ago. And it stands for Richmond Church Koinonia Seekers. So when we're out there and we put on our bright yellow shirts and we're out there playing on the field, we represent, and we don't advertise it to everybody else, but we are there representing Richmond Church. Now, my question for you. When I'm going, you've got to be consistent to the ref. Am I representing this church? Or even more importantly, am I representing Jesus Christ the best that I can? And the answer is, of course not. You see, it's so easy for us to forget that we've put on Jesus. And there are times that we want to be just like everybody else, to be able to say the things they say, to do the things they do, to act the way they act. But we can't. See, we're not like that. Now, it's not that we're better than everybody else. It's just that we've got something. Actually, we've got someone who's better, and that is Jesus Christ. And somehow, the best we can, we need to advertise that. Because if they know that we are Christians, then they are watching us to see if that makes a difference. And to see what kind of difference Jesus makes in our lives. But how do we go about this putting on Jesus anyway? Galatians chapter 3 verse 27 tells us, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." What does that mean? It means that something happens to you when you're lowered into the water at your baptism. See, Romans 6 goes on and it tells us that when you were baptized, you went under the water. You were baptized into his death. You were therefore buried with him through baptism into the death in order that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. See, we too have this new life. So in our baptism, when we go through baptism, we put on Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. See, we identify with what he did for us. We literally die and are buried and raised up into a new life. It's an outward showing of something that has taken place on the inside. Now in the movie, Tim Allen accidentally puts on the suit. He doesn't read all the fine print. But you know, you can't do that with Jesus Christ. You cannot accidentally put on Jesus Christ. No matter how many times you go under the water, you can't accidentally be buried with Jesus Christ. It is a decision that you make, a constant decision that you make. Stating that you want to belong to him. You want to belong with him. You want to stake your life on the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. Because you believe that you are a sinner, and you believe that Jesus' blood can remove your sin. And now you want to turn your whole life over to him and trust him and to follow him. You see, baptism is just the culmination of all those decisions that take place. Baptism is putting on Jesus, showing the world that you have Jesus on the inside and you want them to know on the outside that you have accepted him and there's something different about you. We do it to remember what he's done for us. And a little bit earlier, we took communion. And communion reminds us that we have this relationship with Jesus, this relationship with God. They're all reminders, things that allow us to remember that we want to be his child and we want to follow him. But how is it that we can put on Jesus? How is it that we even have that relationship? Because about 2,000 years ago, Jesus put on flesh and blood. He became like us so that we could become like him. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 says, "In our relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There was one person who wrote it this way and said, to get ready for Christmas, God undressed. God stripped off his finery and he appeared. How embarrassing. Naked on the day he was born. God could not be God with us if he wasn't flesh. See, Jesus, he took off his God nature and he put on flesh. He became like us so that we could become like him. He bought us in this way so that we would know the way to freedom with God. Many of you know that I'm now into flipping houses. My boss and I, we flip houses, and the one we're working on now is kind of Powell and Ninth over by the Ross Island Bridge, and we were replacing the windows on the second floor. This was about 6 weeks ago. And so you take the window out and you pop the window in. Don, you should be pretty good at this by now, because we did the windows here. And so we were doing that, and we took lunch. We had a window out and we took lunch. And when we went back upstairs, there's a bird flying around in the house. Yeah. And so now we're going, okay, what do we do? And so you're up there and you're trying to shoo this bird out, and you're trying not to hurt it. So you're trying to get him to go out the window where he can be safe and stuff, because if he stays in there, he's going to die. Eventually he will die. So we're trying to get him out. And so what we decided was we'll go downstairs. We'll leave the windows open. We'll go downstairs. And hopefully he'll just fly out on his own. We went back a little later. He wasn't there. But in the process of going and trying to get this out, if only I could speak birdies. See, but I'm a human, and this bird, we couldn't communicate with each other. There is no way I could tell this bird, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm just trying to get you outside where you can be safe. But you see, that's exactly what God did. God was trying to figure out how to communicate with us that he loved us, that he didn't want to hurt us. He was there for our safety. And so through Jesus Christ, he stripped off his godliness and he put on humanity. He stepped through the stars of heaven down into earth so that we could know that he loved us. And we could see that. And he could communicate with us. And we could follow him. And he could lead us to safety. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. And as we wrap this up, as we go through this Advent season, Jesus Christ, God, he loves us. And that's why he came to earth. So that we could put on Jesus, and once we put Jesus on, we can make a difference. When our lives are that way, people out there see the difference. And they'll want it as well. Worship team, come on up. Where are you at today with Jesus Christ? Have you accepted him? Have you put on Jesus Christ? Is your life different?